So we're at our second week in our sermon series, New Year, New Choices. And I admit that that title is a little naive because it assumes that all of our choices somehow happen miraculously around January 1st. And the reality, of course, is that our lives are filled with choices at different times and different places that really have little to do with the calendar. So as part of the sermon series, we're looking at different individuals when they faced different choices that had the ability to change their lives. And so today we'll be looking at the book of Hebrews as they sing a song of praise about the man Moses. And we'll be looking at an earlier part of his life and a significant choice that he faced that later the author of Hebrews sang about. So would you come share with us?
Today's scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God.
One of my favorite verses in the Bible comes from the book of Romans, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I need to remember that all the time because Scripture tells us that all have sinned, not just some. And so I need to remind myself, as I am reminded regularly, that I am all and you are all. And everybody throughout history, except for Jesus Christ, of course, is part of that all. So as we look today at the story of Moses, I want to invite you to remember that he too was part of the all. Although the book of Hebrews speaks about his life with unambiguous praise, the reality is that his life was not such a straight line. And I find comfort in that because our lives are not also straight lines. Just to catch you up a little bit on Moses' story, he was born into slavery. His people, the Hebrew people, lived in Egypt in a time of pharaohs. And Pharaoh looked at the enslaved people, the Hebrew people, and said, there are too many of them. And if there get to be too many of them, they're going to realize the balance of power has shifted. And so there might be a slave uprising, and they might take things over from us, the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh issued an edict that every male child should be put to death when they were born. Now, I love this, and this is not where we're staying today, but I love the story of the midwives. Pharaoh told them to kill all the boy babies, but they didn't want to do that. And so what they did is when Pharaoh realized the boy babies were surviving, he called the midwives and said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Oh, Pharaoh, we're sorry, but those Hebrew women, once they have babies, they're just so fast when they have babies, we don't have time to get there, and so we're not able to kill the boy babies." And Pharaoh, hearing talk about women and childbirth and stuff, just sort of says, "Okay, never mind, you must be right." So I love that story because the courage of the midwives meant that Moses was born safely. And so he managed to overcome that first risk of his birth. But then it would take much strength and cunning for him to survive beyond his birth. And so his mother made a basket that was able to float. And when Pharaoh's daughter was going bathing in the river, she gently set her son Moses in the river. Pharaoh's daughter saw this baby floating in a waterproof basket, took him into her own household. And so Moses, who was born in slavery, ended up getting to be raised up in great privilege. He was part of Pharaoh's household. It meant that when Pharaoh's family would be going through the town, through the country, people would bow to them. And so Moses would have people bowing to him as he was out riding with Pharaoh's family. It meant that Moses was educated with the finest knowledge of the time. He was educated in astronomy, chemistry, mathematics, engineering, music, and art. And so he may have spent possibly around 35 years in this household of great privilege, of great prestige, of great popularity. But then, Scripture tells us, Moses went out to his kinsfolk. This is from the book of Exodus, where I'll be referring for a bit to catch us up on Moses' life. Moses went out to his kinsfolk. His kinsfolk were who? The Hebrews, those who were in slavery. So Moses went out from Pharaoh's household, from this position of power and privilege and popularity, and he went out from that to his kinsfolk. And he had to leave to get out to where they were. But once he got out of this palace of privilege, the world looked entirely different. Suddenly he saw the Hebrews, his people, as they were enslaved. Suddenly he saw what they were having to go through on a daily basis. And so his leaving, his going out, did not lead him to an easy place. But Moses' story hinges on this fact that he went out. And I have to wonder if, like Moses, all of us face that same call from time to time to go out. To go out from our place of comfort, from our place perhaps of privilege, but our place of where we're used to things. We know how things work, and if we are called to go out from there into something new. Now, I know on Saturday I'll get to experience that with a dozen of us all together as we go out to Puerto Rico, to an island that we can help recover from hurricane relief. We're following this coming weekend in a long tradition of missionaries from this congregation. Our youth group sends one or two mission trips every summer so that we're raising up our youth in this notion that we need to go out. There's a group that goes to Costa Rica annually. They go out. There have been many other mission trips in the history of this congregation where we choose to leave the comforts of Blue Springs and go out. And there's power and value in that. But going out does not always involve getting on an airplane or a bus and traveling. There are times and places where God calls us to go out from where we are comfortable to where we need to be. And that's important to remember in our lives. Too often, I believe, we think that the world revolves around us, and it's getting even more so in these days of Facebook and Instagram. In fact, studies are showing that social media is enhancing our own sense of self-importance, and not necessarily in a good way. You know, we're able to take a picture of us doing different things during the day. Here's me out in the snow. Here's me in from the snow. Here's me thinking about going out into the snow. And we put up these pictures, and we get likes, and it kind of feels like when Pharaoh and Moses are driving through the countryside and people are bowing before them. Now, I'm not saying that's what we all do, but there's this temptation to think of ourselves as powerful in terms of the likes we get on Facebook. And we are called by God to go out from those places of easy popularity, from our places of our comfort zone, and instead to seek our true purpose in life. And so Moses does go out, and his eyes were opened, and he saw the suffering that his family members, his Hebrew family members, were undergoing. And one day when he's out and he sees this, he sees somebody, an Egyptian, beating a Hebrew slave, and Moses kills him. I want you to look at what Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, says about this act in the song that we've had heard. We start by telling a story. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So here's the book of Hebrews saying, Moses chose to set aside the privilege that he had. He chose to go out. And so he considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. Now, I want to pause there for a minute, because some of you may be looking at that saying, wait a minute, I may not know much about the Bible, but I do know that Moses came a long time before Jesus did. So how could Moses have been doing this for Christ? Well, the author of Hebrews is trying to make a clear connection for his readers and for us, that God's people, the Israelites, were part of this unbroken family of God that is also the part that we who belong to Jesus Christ are part of. And so he's teaching us that what Moses did before Jesus existed was still for God's purpose. Now, that's important for us today, I believe, for many reasons, one of which is that God's family is bigger than we realize. That's what this author is saying. And so if you see somebody who is different than you, as you consider how you should treat them, remember that God's family is bigger than we realize. And that's what the author of Hebrews is saying when he does this with Moses, too. God's family is always bigger. But then he goes to what we're talking about now. So by faith, Moses left Egypt unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. So when Moses saw the slave being killed by the Egyptian, the author of Hebrews here portrays it as an impulsive thing that was the right thing to do. And there's an animated movie, The Prince of Egypt, that you may have seen that captures this moment and again has it as an impulsive, heat-of-the-moment thing. But in Scripture, in Exodus, it says that Moses saw the slave being beaten, and so he looked to his left and to his right, and then he attacked and killed the man who was beating the slave, which meant that Moses was looking to see if he was going to get caught or not before he did it. And the only time you look to see if you're going to get caught is if you're about to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, right? And so the next day, Moses thought he'd gotten away with it, and somebody came up to him and said, "What, Moses, are you going to kill me too like you did that guy yesterday?" And Moses realizes he'd been caught. And Moses realizes that Pharaoh's anger would be strong against him, and so Moses leaves town. That's the narrative that the author of Hebrews chooses to sing this way. By faith he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger. I don't know that that's necessarily true. What I would like to take comfort in is knowing that Moses had the benefit of being human. And that Moses may not have always looked or acted like God's chosen one, particularly in his younger days. But God used him anyway. You see, I find comfort in knowing that each one of us can change, that each one of us has a purpose that is beyond the way that we may behave when we are younger or even older, that we have a purpose beyond what people may see in us as attributes or not, that God can use all of us because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and God can use all of us to do God's purpose. What does that look like? Well, so I want to give you a sports analogy that I really kind of like today. My apologies that it is not a football analogy or a Chiefs analogy. Go Chiefs. What a great game that was last week or yesterday. And next weekend we'll be watching from Puerto Rico as best we can to cheer the Chiefs on to their pending, get them to the Super Bowl victory. But in the field of basketball, there was a basketball player that when he was in high school, he loved basketball greatly. And he really thought he had some talent. He just loved the game, was really good at it. He went to a tournament, though, and this was a tournament that he was being scouted for. He knew that there were people who could make a difference in what college that he would go to. And at this tournament, he played terribly. It was just an off game. After that tournament, as he went home and was talking to his parents, he was really upset. He decided this was not for him, that life was not fair, it was not going well. And then here's what his mother did, and these are the player's words. She said, "Steph, I'm only going to tell you this one time. After that, this basketball dream, it's going to be what it's going to be, but here's what I'll say. No one gets to write your story but you. Not some scouts, not some tournament, not these other kids who might do this better or that better, and not ever your last name." His dad had also been in the game. "None of these people, none of these things get to be the author of your story, just you. So think real hard about it, take your time, and then you go out and write what you want to write, but just know that this story is yours." So that young man kept playing basketball, and when he got scouted, they would say words that like undersized, not a finisher, extremely limited. He says he can still reel off all of those words in his name to this day. And so he did not get to go to the big basketball school that he hoped to. He went to my alma mater, Davidson College, a college of 2,000 people. Here he is playing in a game against Duke. Duke and Davidson are both in North Carolina, great rivals. You see all the people. And in case you can't recognize him, that's Steph Curry. And for those of you that don't know basketball, Steph Curry is like the best player there is right now. He went on to talk about this time in his life when nobody thought he could do it. He says he still remembers what they said about him, undersized, not a finisher, extremely limited. But then he went on. He says, "The thing that being underrated might start off as just some feeling the world imposes on you, but if you figure out how to harness it, it can become a feeling that you impose on the world." He didn't allow himself to be defined by these early things. Like many basketball players, he has started a camp for kids with talent. But he's just now started another camp. He calls it the Underrated Tour. It's targeted towards the kids that will not get recruited to the elite camps. He said this, "Why am I doing it? Because I already have one camp and it's awesome. But guess who wouldn't have been invited to my camp? Me. And I'll tell you what, I'm really starting to see something in that dude." And so he started a camp for the kids that were like him. So don't listen to what other people say about who you are. Don't choose to stay in your comfort zone, but choose to seek out the purpose that God has for each one of you. Scripture tells us the one who began a good work in you will complete that work in you. You have purpose. Seek that purpose. Allow God to use you. Choose each day to set aside the past and to live in your future purpose with God. And so will you be in prayer with me? Oh God, there are times where we make mistakes that seem insurmountable. There are times where our past seems like it is all that we have ahead of us. But God, lead us out of our comfort zone. Out of our places of privilege, give us the eyes to see the world around us and give us courage to follow the purpose you have laid ahead of us. Use us, O God, that we may be forces for good and for love in your world. Amen.